This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Bob, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing okay. We're holding up. Both our teams won a series over the weekend. One kind of a real shocker, and the other one maybe less of a surprise, but still a great victory. The Cubs at the LA Dodgers, and I'm curious when you hear the news about Justin Steele. Do you think that warrants an immediate move? Does that mean they got to kind of start looking to make a move? Does that mean a trade is imminent at some point for the Cubs?
I think they immediately start looking. I mean, no panic whatsoever. You still got 6 months left of the season. But I think it's like, okay, we'd like to have a frontline guy to help us down the stretch or certainly help in October. So it kind of opens the phone lines, like, okay, hey, Miami, when you're ready to deal, sign that contract, we're here. Germán Márquez of Colorado, hey, keep us on the radar. So it just puts them, I think, to the forefront, like, okay, well, when these guys start to move starters, we want to be right there in the conversation.
How do you feel, if you're a Cub fan, how do you feel about Ryan Presley at the back end of that bullpen? And he closed out the ball game yesterday in L.A., against some pretty good hitters, but from what we've seen so far this year, a little bit shaky. Certainly easier to go shopping for relief help than front end starter. But I'm curious if Presley can be their closer. Like, can he get to Memorial Day as their closer? And I don't know.
Oh, I believe so. And this guy has done it before, proven veteran. Some guys just live on the edge. I mean, what Kenley Jansen has, 450 career saves, he's done that a lot. You've seen guys over the years. There's hardly that many guys outside, Mariano Rivera, Trevor Hoffman, that did those, one, two, three innings. Craig Kimbrell was notorious for doing that. So, when you think about it, there's only a couple guys that don't do that. Josh Hader of Houston is one of them.
Class A's struggled so far this year in Cleveland a little bit anyway.
Yeah, he's been very erratic. One great season, one struggling season. So, no, I think Presley's one of the least of worries.
Bob, you wrote over the weekend that the White Sox had some talks with the Dodgers. The Dodgers tabled a deal that would have sent Luis Robert Jr., to L.A., and it was interesting because, we know they were talking about James Outman, and they were also talking about kind of a top prospect to go with him. And, I would imagine that's probably why the talks didn't go anywhere. Are the Sox – is there asking price for Robert, given the way things have gone for him – not just to open this season, but really last year, is that why the talks were tabled? And by tabled, does that mean they could rekindle? Could Philadelphia want to get back involved? What about, Cincinnati? I don't know who, but they clearly want to move this guy, and they are asking a lot to do so.
No, you're right on all fronts. Yeah, they definitely want to move him. And they have, high opinion of him. They still think he can be a star. I mean, he hasn't proven to be that guy, very injury prone. Obviously, you want to move him again before he gets hurt, you know, if he does get hurt. But they're going to have a high asking price. You know, if they're just going to dump him for money, they would have done so during the winter or done it in spring training. So they got to get something back in return. You know, a guy like James Outman is a perfect fit. I mean, fabulous defensive player, just hasn't hit yet. You know, maybe, you know, one day he will, but a tremendous defensive player. So, but they want, you know, more than that. You know, they'd like to get at least a 2-for-1 package. So I think, you know, it's one of those things where they'll let teams know all year long, hey, if you're looking for a center fielder, give us a call, because there's so few center fielders that are available.
Yeah, I feel like Luis is, number one, he's going to have to stay healthy, which has been the bugaboo, and he's going to have to hit. And if he can accomplish both of those, they ought to find a sweeter, but that's a big if between now and sometime in July, right?
It is. You know, a lot of times guys struggle in April. That's why what Kyle Tucker's doing is so impressive, because usually, hey, you go to Chicago and the cold days and stuff, it takes a while to heat up. I know if you guys pull Kyle Tucker before the season starts, if you're hitting .230 after April, take it. You know, especially going from a dome to cold weather. And he's done unbelievable so far.
Bob, you wrote recently that friends of Jerry Reinsdorf say that he's not interested in selling the White Sox, that the whole Justin Ishbia thing, he's pushed back on the overtures about that. I think I've got two questions regarding that. One would be, you know, because Jerry never pushed back when that was reported. Why does he not mind that being out there? Why does he want people to know that? And then the other question would be, what was Ishbia and his brother, if he's with him on this, what were they thinking when they decided not to pursue the Twins to kind of invest more with the White Sox? Didn't that seem like an arrangement that was made to get them out of Twins talks?
No, I mean, what has been Ishbia's been trying to get this franchise for years, you know, at least 5 to 10 years. And Jerry Reinsdorf would continually say, it's not for sale, not for sale, but, you know, quit asking me. And so what Ishbia did was just buy up everybody's, you know, minority shares and say, okay, let me put myself in position. I think he pivoted from Minnesota to the White Sox simply because the reason everybody else is, nobody thought the Twins' price is worth it. They're over $450 million in debt. They thought the 1.7 is too high. So they say, why go to a losing place? Well, I'll just try to wait for the White Sox. And Jerry Reinsdorf's friends have said he's got no interest in selling. He loves baseball, still loves the White Sox. Why sell something when you enjoy it? You certainly don't enjoy the losing, but, you know, as long as you're having fun with it, enjoy going to ball games, go in and hang on to it, you know, until your health doesn't allow you to.
Well, I mean, you certainly could construct a case that he could sell and continue to enjoy baseball, and heck, he could get himself a suite and rolled into the deal too, I would imagine, if he sold.
Sure,
but
sure.
Yeah, White Sox fans have, as you understand, Bob, have some deep-seated frustration, I think, is the kind way of putting it. But the starting pitching has been better this year, and that's without Crochet and a guy like Fetty. So I think they're just hoping to see a little more excitement on the South side throughout the course of the season. And if this past weekend was, you know, if they can replicate that every other homestand, maybe they're headed in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, we saw Houston Astros do that, where you just got, you know, pummeled, you know, losing 110 games a year. Baltimore Orioles did that. And you see where, you know, the Astros created a dynasty. You know, Orioles, one of the best young teams in all of baseball. You know, the painful part for the White Sox is having to do this again so quickly after the first one. But I don't think money's, you know, even if the White Sox got Juan Soto, they're still going to lose 100 games. So it's not like a Pittsburgh Pirates, you know, where you're wasting the great young rotation by not spending. or some of these other places. They just need talent. I think if there comes a day they're close again, yeah, then they'll buy some players up. But right now they just need to, get back in the thick of things with, young talent and hope it works out. And they got to hope they need that Garrett Crochet trade to work out. When they move Roberts, they need that trade to work out. And some of those others, have not so far.
What's curious about it is I think it was Sportico that released their franchise valuations, and the Sox are so undervalued compared to the Cubs in the same city. So the lack of earning that's going on, the value of the franchise, etc., it's almost like a sleeping giant. Like if you had someone like Ishbia take over, you feel like they could win a lot faster than they're winning with the payroll cutting that's going on with Jerry right now.
Yeah, see, I don't know if it can turn to be a great franchise money wise, but I think it's got to move towards Soldier Field or something like that for it to do so. The trouble is, there's just not that area around there where you're making money, and that's where these teams make a killing. Whether it's the Cubs, Atlanta, St. Louis, Colorado, those places have the Battery and the ballpark village, those kind of things. The Cubs have Wrigleyville. White Sox don't have that. It's not like they're making money off the field or on the surrounding neighborhood. So that's why the huge difference between the two franchises is you're just not making money off the field. Where I think if they were able to move towards Soldier Field, then I think you see a different thing, a different product.
So switching back to the other side of town, discussion over the weekend about the possibility of the Cubs working out some type of extension with Pete Crow Armstrong. We've seen more and more of those happen over the last couple of years. I think Christian Campbell in Boston might be the most recent example of a guy to get one of those deals. How realistic is that, and is it something that could be, maybe that takes place next spring? Who knows?
Yeah, I would think if those things happen during during the winter, spring. You don't see that many. Once the season starts, that's just unusual. Obviously, those conversations all took place during the spring, and then just kind of carry over. But a lot of times, guys just want to go year by year. I mean, if you believe in yourself. If you're Pete Crow Armstrong, you believe you can be an all-star caliber player, then you're not going to sign an extension. I mean, these extensions are all usually team-friendly outside of Vladimir Guerrero's. The Jackson Merrill, the young center fielder for the Padres, was an absolute steal. 9 years for $135. This guy's already one of the top players in baseball. He may have left over $200, $300 million on the table. So usually these guys sign an extension just to get the security. But they're usually always team-friendly deals. So I think that's why, I haven't talked to Pete Crow or Armstrong about this. I'm sure he's thinking, what the guarantee was is certainly not worth it. I think I can be better than this.
Yeah, because those guys in those arbitration years can get, even before they hit the marketplace, can earn a tremendous amount just on the going year to year.
Yeah, I remember Tim Lincecum when he came with the Giants. They never signed a new extension. And he made an absolute killing just going year by year. Scott Boras' clients, they do that. Once in a while they'll sign maybe a 2-year deal, but they never give up a year of free agency. In all these cases with extensions, you're giving up 2-3 years of free agency, and that can be very valuable. I mean, who knows what the market's going to look like? In the next collective bargaining agreement, maybe there'd be more money for players.
Bob, Carson Kelly got hit by a pitch yesterday on his hand. He has been kind of a revelation. I mean, the day before Saturday, he had 3 hits and 2 homers, 3 RBI. He has been so much of a contributor offensively. You just worry that he's okay and that he's not going to be out for a while.
Yeah, I mean, he's really turned his career around. Remember, he came from St. Louis in the Paul Goldschmidt trade. And, he was blocked by Yadier Molina. Cardinals had high expectations. And, you know, it never happened in Arizona. Never came that player. You know, then bounced around, came back to Arizona, was released. The Tigers, you know, were desperate for some backup catching, so they gave him a shot. And he performed well for them and has done, you know, great for the Cubs. But, yeah, credit to him for turning his career around. I, you know, he was on the verge of, you know, being out of baseball for good. And now he's a very viable backup. So, yeah, that would be a – that'd be a big loss if he's out for long, just because he's a really a mainstay in that clubhouse too.
The Cubs headed from L.A. to San Diego, and they've already seen the Padres once this season. They came into Wrigley. How surprised have you been by the start for the Padres, where this season starts and the Dodgers are going to win the division, and the Diamondbacks are talented, and the Padres have talent, but you don't know where they're going to wind up? They've been playing fantastic ball to this point.
They really have. I mean, they're kind of thin. You worry about their depth. If they have a big injury, unlike the Dodgers, they're in deep trouble. But yeah, I mean, this is a team that should have won the World Series last year. They had the Dodgers, you know, by the throat, up 2-1. Game 4, the deciding game is in San Diego. And then, you know, Dodgers are pitching a bullpen game, they lose. They go back to LA and lose again. So this team's built to win right now. Right now, they're the best team in baseball, not the Dodgers. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of fun to see them, what they've done. I mean, they pitched 3 straight shutouts against the Rockies. I know it's the Rockies, but still, 3 straight shutouts is impressive. And, hey, if the Cubs can win a series in San Diego after winning one in LA, be really fired up. Because they've had a brutal stretch of schedule in April, and just to be over 500 is an unbelievable start for them.
Yeah, I think the Cubs get L.A. back at Wrigley Field again here soon, too. Like, they're gonna see a whole lot of Dodger blue in the first 30 games of the year.
Yeah, they come back because those 2 games kind of as home games for the Cubs in Tokyo. And then, they do come back for 2 and for 2 in April. But, yeah, I mean, if you're the Cubs, go, you know, kind of, ooh, we're done with that tough schedule. You know, now we can, go ahead and, you know, pummel the rest of the NL Central. Because if your teams, that's where you want to be these days. You want to be the NL Central, the AL Central. Because I think realistically, the NL Central, the Cubs are probably thinking, you know, you can never count out the Brewers. But probably, you know, the only team they're really thinking hard about is Cincinnati Reds, you know, as far as being a threat to them to win the Central.
Right.
And the Reds are so strange because they've been a failed contender for a while, right? You just don't understand why they haven't fired, and now you figure they change managers, that they should be better than they are right now.
Yeah, I mean they lost all those 1-1, you know, 1-0 games, which is mind-boggling. You know, they're kind of worried about their offense. McLean is, you know, unbelievable second baseman. So Matt McLean, he'll be back from the injury list pretty soon here. But Hunter Green's the best pitcher on the planet right now. You know, another 7 shutout innings. So Brangona's a Hall of Fame manager for a reason.
Yeah.
I think the Reds will be there all season. I mean, I think they'll be knocking the door for division title or at least a wild card spot.
Great stuff, Bob. Thanks a ton. Really appreciate your time.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you, guys. Take care.
That is Bob Nightingale, USA Today MLB columnist. Does a great job. He's a lot of insight into the White Sox thinking for sure.